back to Master Debaters Presents Was It Worth It? I am your host, Toffer. This is the podcast where I get taken on a journey through the annals of movie history and week by week watch all of the films that I should have already seen. As you can tell by the lovely, lovely music in the background and the title of the episode, this week's episode is The Fog. Obviously, I'd never seen The Fog before this week. And I have watched it and discussed it with Rob and Tim from the Three Cuckoos podcast. A big, 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 big shout out this episode to Bobby Meek on the Twitter, at BMeeky. Big Bad Bobby requested this episode, so I'd never seen it. It fit the show parameters. So I watched it and the Cuckoos were happy enough. They love this film. They were more than happy to come on and discuss The Fog. So we'll get into that in a sec. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we kick off with the show, because I forget to do it at the end for some fucking stupid reason. If you're enjoying the show, you can follow us at Was It Worth It Pod on the Twitter. And if you're feeling super, super generous, go to Podomatic, which is where we host all these shows. Drop a like on some of the episodes and just fucking do all that shit. Just be nice. Don't be a bitch. Hit subscribe on iTunes as well. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? Just subscribe. It's all right. So yeah, we'll jump into the episode now. Again, another thank you to Rob and Tim and Big Bad Bobby Meek. Ethan will be back next week and we will be doing The Exorcist. So we'll find out if The Exorcist was worth it. But for now, let's jump into John Carpenter's The Fog.
This is KAB Antonio Bay. Stevie Wayne here.
And let me be the first to wish Antonio Bay a happy birthday. We're 100 years old today.
And keep a watch out for that fog bank heading in from the east.
100 years ago, between midnight and one, something unknown came out of the fog. Now it has returned.
Oh, Jesus.
Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. There's something in the fog. From the creator of Halloween, the ultimate experience in terror and suspense. John Carpenter's The Fog, starring Adrian Barbeau, Jamie Lee Curtis, John Houseman, Janet Leigh as Kathy Williams, and Hal Holbrook as Father Malone. The Fog. What you can't see won't hurt you. It will kill you. Between midnight and one, it will find you.
Hello, Rob and Tim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, love.
Good day. How are we? Are we all right?
Yes, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Very good, in fact.
Yeah, really good.
Looking forward to this.
Yes, me too. It's been a minute since we were last together.
It has. Yes. It's been a long, long time.
When was it?
I've not slept last night.
It's like Christmas morning.
It was a long time ago. It must have been Halloween, right?
Hey, well, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was mid-October, maybe.
Yeah, it must have been. Hence like the theme of the whole thing.
4-ish months.
I know, yeah. It's been good, though. It's been good, and I'm dead looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm buzzing to have you back on, lads. The last episode you did very, very well for us.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Bobby Meek must be fucking having a shit right now.
Bobby. Yep, he's a big fan of those both, I think.
We love Bobby Meek.
Good old
love
Bobby
Meek.
So, I mean, this is like by request, right? Bobby Meek.
So it's a special.
One of our biggest fans.
It's like a holiday special, then.
Yeah, we need to fucking Patreon that motherfucker and get him to give us some money.
Yeah, what are you doing, Meek?
That's the next step. Send me money, dickhead.
It's payback time.
Yeah. The film we are doing today, we're going to carry on with the John Carpenter theme that we started.
Yes.
It was recommended by you, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, me personally.
Yeah.
And Tim, I think you feel the same.
Yeah.
We love this film.
Yeah.
This is one of the first horror movies I ever remember watching.
Yeah, it's another one of those you grow up with for us.
But Bobby Meek, super fan and all-round nice guy, he literally went, you've got to do The Fog.
Yeah.
You've got to do The Fog. So that's why we're here, really.
Yeah, so we are talking about The Fog. I haven't got the year wrote down, gents.
Oh, 1980.
Yeah, so this is John Carpenter. It was how many years after Halloween?
One year. I think it was the next film he did.
I think it was just 1 year after. John Carpenter was Assault on Precinct 13 in 76. He did Halloween in 78 and The Fog in 1980.
Yeah.
Boys, we'll start the show the way we always do. I'll put it to you. You say you grew up with this film. When did you first watch it, and what was your first impressions of the film, of the fog?
Go on, Tim, I'll let you lead this one.
When I first watched this film, now I think it'll probably be with you.
Yep.
So we're talking 88-ish, maybe around that sort of time.
Did I introduce you to this?
I think you introduced me to this one.
It'll have been on VHS then, beautiful.
It'll have been on VHS, and I think it was in one of those leather-looking book things.
Yeah, it could have been.
With a label written on it. And it had Do Not Over Record, and I think they had the little plastic bit broken out of it.
Snap the little tab, yeah.
So you couldn't overwrite on the VHS.
For me, this is one of the earliest. I mean, this is one that my sister used to torture me with because she thought it was hilarious to make me watch these kind of films before bed. And not that my mum and dad really gave a fly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't make him watch that. Oh, well, whatever.
He'll be all right.
Yeah. So I've had, you know, secure upbringing. But I think it was probably, Jesus, I was probably like six when I saw this.
Oh, yeah, Jesus,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's never done me any harm.
It is like a proper classic ghost story, isn't it, really? I didn't realise what it was.
That's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's a pure ghost story, I think.
It's far removed from Halloween, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a different film.
Mm.
The pacing's different. The sort of...
Do you know
what shot?
I love. Obviously, it's a massive. It's a classic ghost story, right?
Yeah.
About Spivey Point and this whole place that has concocted this sinister plot.
Yeah.
Cover up, man.
To get these lepers to not live near these people.
Shocking.
So the one fly in 2018.
I love the way it starts with the old guy telling the story.
It is fabulous, that bit. It really kind of sets the tone straight away, doesn't it? That's sort of the way it's on at night, waiting for midnight to hit when the witching hour starts.
I always remember when I was a kid, right? And because it starts off with his little pocket watch, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he snaps it shut. And I always remember shitting myself when I was a kid at that.
It's quite loud, isn't it?
Well, you kind of, you know, you're told it's a horror, and that's the first thing, so you're really on knife edge.
Yeah, you're on edge, ain't you? Yeah. As soon as someone tells you something scary, you shit yourself already.
But it evokes, like, being a kid, doesn't it? Kids listening to him telling this tale.
Yeah, well, John Houseman tells the story. He's the actor who tells the story, and he tells it so brilliantly. Yeah. And it's really sinister, isn't it? He's proper trying to scare these kids. Yeah.
And the look on they're all sat there.
Yeah.
And the look on their face.
They're on the hill. The campfire's burning, as it is in the story as well.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to scare the shit out of these kids.
When he's finished telling it, it just sort of pans above him, doesn't it? And it just like, it's just the way it sort of leaves him to get into the story.
Expertly shot.
Yeah.
I have found out from my research of this show that wasn't in the original cut of the film.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I mean, that's a good addition, that. Right?
Yeah.
The original cut of the film was about 60 minutes long, apparently.
Oh, right, like a film for TV, maybe?
Yeah, and he had to go back, bush it up a little bit.
You can kind of tell, actually, because it's only an hour and 20 minutes, I think, the film.
Yeah, it's a very, very short film, isn't it? Yeah, I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, it is.
Take the credits out. I think it's probably 120, something like that.
Yeah.
But you can tell that sort of first bit, you know, when he pans up off, because I've only seen it today, so it's quite fresh in my mind, and it sort of shoots Antonio Bay over the hill, and you can tell some of the foliage is models, because it's low res, so you can kind of tell now, obviously, with the high def screens, but you wouldn't be able to tell on VHS. So that's probably what he's done there, then.
Possibly,
he's probably just read that bit, I had maybe had some footage and made it a bit more sort of eerie.
Yeah.
But again, for me, that the music
banging. I've never heard it before.
Eerie crap. It's just eerie. It just really like
eerie crap.
But eerie crap your pants type of it's like really sets it going. So, and it's John Carpenter doing the music, isn't it? So it's like.
He's just perfect at doing that.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't in the original cut either, the score.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, wow. What, the whole.
Which part? Score.
The score.
The whole score, the whole he wrote something else and didn't like it, so he went back and tried to make it a bit spookier.
It works though, doesn't it?
Thank God he did. He got it right second time, didn't he?
But it's different. It's different to Halloween, but it does the same job.
Mm.
It gets that fear. But because it's a ghost story, he's gone for that, not the sinisterness. Mm. Not like Halloween. It's gone for that more ethereally eerie kind of, I thought.
Loves the synthesizer, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking absolutely. Loves them.
I bet he had a keytar.
Do you remember them?
Bet he had a keytar back in the 80s.
He will have done.
I bet that's what he scored it on. I bet he was one of the first.
Yeah.
100%.
Going to use my keytar.
He had some fucking banging air as well, so I can see him rocking about his bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His little pan.
Shut up, Mum. I'm doing music for Fog.
He used to do music just to his mother walking through the house.
What do you think, Mum?
Just follow him out, try and shit her up.
Yeah.
You stop following me around. Brilliant.
He did cheeky little cameo as well, didn't he, at the start?
Do you know what? I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
Right, so I watched it last night. Tim, you watched it today, didn't you?
Yeah.
I have watched this film thousands of times, I must have done.
Yeah.
Right.
I've watched it a lot.
And me and my sister always used to joke about Bennett, who is literally in it for a second at the start, who's kind of, you know, washing Father Malone's glasses or whatever. Yeah. And
rinsing his knickers out.
Last night, for the very first time, realised, oh my God, that's John Carpenter.
Yeah.
And apparently, Deborah Hill, who co-wrote it, apparently she's in it too.
All right.
But she's like uncredited. She's got no character.
Unless you freeze frame.
I don't even think she says a line. She's just in it.
She'll be in bar or something, won't she?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the same team as well, isn't it? It keeps like the same crew. Yeah.
Oh, nearly all the same actors as well. Yeah. Nancy Loomis, who was your favourite actress in Halloween, I believe.
One fucking problem I had with this film. As soon as I wasn't looking at the telly. I'd looked away for a couple of seconds to do something, and I heard that fucking voice.
It's so distinct, isn't it? It's such a drone. It's her accent, I think.
I'm surprised you didn't turn it off.
She sounds fucking stone the whole film. She's not interested. She clearly doesn't want to be there.
It's funny though, because Janet Leigh, obviously from Psycho fame, who was famously murdered in the shower, she is Mrs. Williams.
Yeah.
And she even says to her, you can make Mrs. Williams sound like you just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And it's almost like she's just put that out there.
Yeah, that's just as they're going into a church, isn't it, that bit?
Yeah.
Fuck you boring bitch.
Pretty much should have said that.
But yeah, it is like one family, isn't it, John Carpenter's films? You've got Carpenter and Deborah Hill on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Nancy Loomis, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, Nick Castle, who's the main character in this, really. Yeah.
Nick Castle is the name of the man who played the Shape in Halloween.
Wow.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Altogether. And then, Janet Leigh is that Jamie Lee Curtis's mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. He's probably gone from the fact that Halloween was so successful.
Mm.
Why? What's the point in changing it? I'll just keep the same people around. They're obviously talented.
Yeah, and Adrian Barbeau, who is Stevie Wayne.
Oh, Escape from New York, isn't she?
Exactly, Escape from New York. And Cannonball Run, famously.
Oh, yeah, Cannonball. Brilliant.
Yeah, she's got a lovely, sexy voice.
Stevie Wayne?
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Swamp Thing. Watch it now.
Without a doubt.
I think I've got wrote down. I want you both to have a go at your best midnight radio sexy voice.
Oh no, I can't do a midnight. You've got the voice for radio.
You just did it without even knowing about it.
Oh no.
When I play some songs, I just have to choose, don't you? I'm going to play those tunes.
Play some sexy jazz here on KAB Digital Radio.
Coming
from lamppost down road. Don't turn that light off, lads.
It's the only one that works.
Keeping your erections going while you're on your boats out there on sea. Don't drive into that fog or you'll get dismembered.
Stay away from fog.
Brilliant.
Marvellous.
You can use some of that if you want.
I will.
Oh, I have got a KAB t-shirt.
You have, actually.
At home. I had to buy one. Stevie Wayne, brilliant.
Yes. A lot of familiar faces in it again. And I didn't know Jamie Lee Curtis was in this bad boy either.
Yeah.
So is this the first time you've seen it then?
Yes, first time ever. Wow. I'd never heard of you.
What a treat. What a treat.
Oh, yeah, imagine. You see, we watched it sort of the 80s, so it was still kind of fresh.
It'll have been on TV for like the first time, and my sister will have taped it.
Yeah.
And that's
probably where I watched it. You see, me and you, we used to go to school, like to primary school, and we would have watched things like this, like The Fog, Halloween, and everyone else was like, no idea. So we were kind of, that's kind of partly the reason we probably got chatting when we were like 9 or 8.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Because
we watched the same stuff.
Obviously,
we talked about before.
There was a physical attraction.
Okay, well, yeah. Damn.
But yeah, we were the only ones allowed to just stay up and watch Verhoeven films.
just gonna stay up and watch RoboCop, Mum.
Alright, love. I remember the first time I watched RoboCop, I think I was about 7, and it fucked me up for a good while.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Seeing him get absolutely smashed to pieces really stayed with me for a few years, that did.
It still stays with me now.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Morton made a mistake. Right, anyway, but we'll have to do that one. We'll have to go through that.
In The Fog, going back to The Fog.
Back to Fog, not RoboCop.
Did you see the uncredited Leo Sayer, the guy who's in the boat, who's Leo Sayer. Oh,
yes, I did see him.
He just looks like Leo Sayer.
I think one of the people in the boat is Tommy Lee Wallace.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bloke who does the set design and shit like that.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, well, Tommy Lee Wallace, he plays Buck, doesn't he, in the boat. And he is...
Buck.
He's the bum. He's Fred in Back to the Future.
Oh, God, he is.
So when...
Well done.
Marty McFly travels back to 85 right at the end.
Yeah.
And he jumps, he gets out of the DeLorean, doesn't he, and he goes, oh, Fred. And there's that bum sleeping on the bench. Same guy.
No way.
Yeah, bit of trivia for you there.
He gets around, doesn't he, Fred?
He does. Do you know what? I love it when they're in that boat, right?
Oh, it's funny, isn't it?
And he goes, oh, that woman on that radio, God damn it. And he goes, there ain't no fog bank out there. And then he goes, wait, there's a fog bank out there. I've always loved that bit.
There's a dramatic pause after it as well.
Yeah.
Like, then he cuts.
Because it's meant for a comedy, isn't it? You That's just, the comedic
I laugh,
part.
I laugh when I watch that again today.
I do. Love it.
Like that.
Can't wait.
It is very it's the thing what I found when I was watching this is I think I watched it at the right time. Like if I hadn't watched The Thing or Halloween before, I think I would have got bored of this.
Yeah, you get like an appreciation for Carpenter, don't you?
I didn't really understand like Carpenter's sort of style, and he got a rhythm, hasn't he? He's got a certain rhythm.
I think the pacing in this, and that might be due to like it only being an hour long, is very good actually. There's a little bit where it gets a bit
disjointed. Yeah,
it's very quick at the end, isn't
it? Yeah, because maybe that's because to fit into 60 minutes. I don't really know the story behind if he was originally asked to do it in 60 minutes.
Yeah, I like the way that it's. It is a complete day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from midnight, and the whole village goes crazy, doesn't it? The whole town goes nuts.
You see, that's part of the setup's
nice.
Yeah,
really good.
It sort of feeds into that ghost
and then it
story
goes through the whole day, and then as soon as it gets to, I think it's like 1 a.m, isn't it, the next day, it's finished.
It's a beautiful place as well. When she's driving up to the lighthouse and she's in those green fields, I think it's a stunning place.
It's set in a place called Inverness.
Inverness,
named after the Scottish town.
Is it? Whereabouts is that then?
It's in California.
Ah, you can tell, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. Windy.
I really like the bit in the...
breezy,
it is breezy,
Stevie Wayne's bush. I mean, her hair. She's all over the place.
She has got some marvellous boobies.
Stevie Wayne.
Swamp Thing.
You want to get onto the old Cannonball Run photographs?
Yeah.
Swamp Thing, she gets them out.
There's a lot. There's a lot of photos.
At 44 minutes. No.
Saw that next.
Yeah. There's a bit, I really like the bit where he gets, I wrote a couple of notes down today.
Oh, good lad.
No, squad team.
When he, at the beginning, what's the father called? I've forgotten his name.
Father Malone.
Malone. And he's drinking at the beginning here, and the brick falls out the wall, and he finds his granddad's journal.
Get the
there.
Fucking life out of me, did that.
And there's I like the line in that where it says, midnight till one belongs to the dead. I thought that's a proper ghost story.
Yeah,
line, isn't it? And I just love that bit. I thought, God, that's really good. It's kind of like really well written.
Yeah.
Everything with the priest, Jamie Lee Curtis's mom, like that whole setup, it's dead good. It's like it's proper, really, really like the storytelling's, I love the storytelling of it. I think it works brilliant. Like when you mentioned the fog, I had no idea what it was about. So I didn't expect basically a zombie pirate revenge film. Thought it was literally about fog suffocating people.
Oh, right.
I thought this is going to be shit.
Well, there's a book, isn't there, called The Fog, which is a completely different book altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not related in any way, shape or form, but the book, The Fog, is it's a classic.
Mm. It is, isn't it? Yeah.
I can't remember who it's written by now.
No, I can't. I'm just thinking that.
It's just gone out of my head.
I can find it.
But yeah, there's a book called The Fog and it's totally different, but it's kind of along the same lines, but I don't think there's any copyright infringement at all. Plus, like you said,
James Herbert.
Zombie Pirates.
1975.
Yeah, James Herbert, there you go. He wrote Rats as well, very famously, didn't he?
Don't you think Blake, though, is a pretty badass bad guy, even though he doesn't really do much in this?
I mean, he's got...
He's so ominous in the fog.
LED eyes.
Do you know who that is?
What?
It's the bloke who did all the makeup for the thing.
He won Oscars.
Yeah. Rob Bobbin, his name is. Or Bottin. Rob Bottin. Yeah.
The silhouette of him... He's brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
It's just really cool. It's kind of, it's got that sort of pirate swagger to it, but also that sort of demonic, oh, fuck, I'm going to die here. But he just unsheathes that sword right after the end. He just takes him out at the end.
You had me at sheath. Properly brilliant. I love it.
There's a dead good random bit that makes me joke that really shit me up. Where like Father Malone just jumps out on someone. For no reason at all. Like she's looking for him. And I think she even shouts him. It's like, well, where are you then? And he just goes, and he just jumps out from nowhere. Yeah.
And she goes, Jesus Christ. And he goes, oh, yeah, sorry about that. He kind of, if you look at it as well, he kind of raises up, doesn't he?
He does.
He's on some kind of spring platform.
I wonder if it was.
Yeah, it was really cool, that part.
One bit I really like in it, when they're on the boat and they go outside and the fogs hit them and the lights go off and they see the ship coming alongside them. I thought that was great, that bit.
And he goes, who's there? And he goes, who's out there?
That's brilliant, that bit. But that bit is brilliant because they take them out, they kill them, and there's no change in the music, no pace change, and it's just really brutal.
It's the fog. It's just the sound of nothing. It's silence.
And it just
keeps
going.
Like this eerie wind. And then Leo Sayers inside trying to start the boat. And he's going,
make me feel like dancing.
Have you seen it? The ship? Have you seen it? And then he goes, did you get wet? Doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then the guy just takes his eyes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, them.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
It's a good death. Those deaths are pretty decent on that boat.
Brutal, right? Yeah, where he spears really him through and you see it from the front.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
That's another thing apparently he went back and put in as well. Because it's not gory, is it, this one? Because most of Carpenter's films aren't very gory, are they? The more suggestive.
Yeah, which is kind of good, I think.
I like that about him.
Yeah, I prefer that.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I don't mind a bit of gore in like, certain films that need it, but this film didn't need it.
No, because it's a ghost story. You don't really need the gore, do you? Because it's not really about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, he went in and put more violence in it. Like with the hooks in the neck.
Yeah,
and the more brutal killings he put that he put those sort of scenes in the film just to
make it adds to it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, like everything he's put in is some of the best things in the film.
Yeah, that's actually. I wonder if it's quite hard to do that because you know, speaking from a person who's made things and released them. I suppose like with me working in games, it's like it's quite iterative. You make something, refine it, build it again. But with film, you shoot it, especially back then in the 80s when it was film, see how that looks later on when I've developed it.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to like it is now. You can just shoot something on your phone and cut it and redo it in seconds.
Well, yeah, apparently he filmed, he edited it, and he went, fucking hell, this is gash. He still doesn't like the film, does he? He sees this as one of his worst films.
Oh,
you see, it's one of his best, I think. Because it is a ghost story. I think it's done really well.
Yeah, I think almost sometimes... I find it easier to watch than Halloween.
Yeah.
I know it's a very different movie and it's not a slasher flick. It's a ghost story, which I think I prefer a good ghost story.
You can almost get comfy watching a ghost story. You don't really need to.
Yeah, but I think the tension in this, like you said, it builds and builds and then it gets quicker and quicker and quicker as the film goes
on. Really good,
And I really like that about it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot better characters in this as well.
You don't have time really in Halloween. It's more about Michael, isn't it, and getting that sort of...
Halloween's more of a classic.
Yeah.
I almost think this is better done.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Which, I don't think it's a better movie, though, which is it's random, isn't it?
No.
Do you think this suffers from the expectation of what he had previously done?
Oh, I suppose so, but...
It didn't do well at all, did it, this film?
No, not really. I think it's a bit of a cult classic.
Yeah, I think since it's done quite well, hasn't it? It's
it got pretty good scores, didn't it? I think.
Yeah, I'd give it a sort of 7-ish out of 10. I think
I've given it 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's what it is on IMDb. It's around 6.5 to 7.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
yeah. People either love it. I don't think anybody hates it. They either love it or they go, it's all right. So I think he does quite well. But I think a lot of John Carpenter fans do enjoy this film. It's just strange that he doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's strange that actually.
And I love it. The scene leading up to the part in the shop, that's where the theme is. That's brilliant. Love it.
I like the entire score in general. Just all the little downs and the way it builds and sets all the tones in the film. I think it's class.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you've got the main bit
throughout
the film. It just weaves lovely.
You could argue he's a better composer than he is a director.
You could.
You could argue that. But, I mean, he's...
What an all-rounder.
But that's the thing. I think you've got to be... Maybe he's such a good musician, the composer for the film, because he knows the shots and he knows how it needs to sort of flow.
The pacing of it.
Weaving it through. That's probably something that brings it into it.
Don't you think the inclusion of a lighthouse was a stroke of genius in this?
Yeah.
You know, being able to see the fog.
Yeah.
So she's like the commentator, if you like, in certain parts
of
the
film.
She is,
really. And like observing the whole town. And it kind of narrates the story a bit, doesn't it, as it sort of within the film.
Yeah. because she's like us. She sees it through what we'd see it through.
I suppose, she's more like the viewer, isn't she? She's more like the audience,
yeah,
sort of.
And the isolator as well. Like, I think she only has a scene with her son. I don't think she interacts with any of the other main characters at all.
That's true, yeah.
She's on the phone with Dan, isn't she, in the weather the weather service.
And when he gets...
flirting with her.
He loves it. He wants a bit of that, don't he?
Oh, he's a dirty monster, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. You want to know what weather, love?
I bet he...
I'll give you my weather.
I bet he's in literally every store chatting up every woman in town, don't you?
Yeah. But he's always late, isn't he? Just nipped at Butcher. It's a green grocer.
Have you got any chops? Let me see your loins. Spank that beef roast. Spank it.
Harder. Ooh, go on.
I did think it was weird, though, that Jamie Lee Curtis's character just bangs that strange bloke for no reason at all.
It's brilliant, right?
Another thing, that whole scene's weird, right? Because she gets in the car. Mm. He's drinking a bud while driving. Straight away, it's like, hang on, you shouldn't really get in a car with a guy. Gives it to her, and she's like,
want a sip?
Want a sip. She's drinking his beer. Yeah. He might have spagged in it, don't know.
Take this for hypnol.
Yeah.
Sure.
That whole scene, and then there's like, hang on, I think I got a note about that, but...
And then, well, all the glass shatters.
Yeah, drink driving, stranger offers beer.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Does it literally cut, and they've slept together?
Yeah, that's it, and they're in bed naked. They've banged each other.
Just shows you were climbing off of her. just as he withdraws, we meet the two.
Still dripping. Just flicks the rest of it off.
And he's looking through her portfolio.
Yeah. Whoa, try that tonight. I'll buy that one.
it was funny.
Yeah.
The way that she just went with him.
Yeah.
And that were it. Nick Castle, you see, to be fair, the same thing happens in Season of the Witch to him.
It does, doesn't it, actually, yeah.
He meets up with the woman, one of the characters, and she literally just falls in love with him, like he's some kind of animal attraction.
He's just a magician.
He's like a rock star.
He is, isn't he?
Just summons women to his... to his hot crotch.
That's probably his rock name. Hot crotch.
Hot crotch.
I have got a note. There's two blokes, you know, you're about the ship where Lee Alcea was on.
Yeah.
There's two blokes, and they look exactly the same.
They do?
Yeah, they do.
It's like they both turned up to be cast, and he went, I'll both of
you. Can't really decide both.
You both look like sailors. Maybe they were twins.
Yeah.
Again, one of them, I looked away, and then looked back. I was like, is that the fucking same bloke? And then he was talking to himself. I was like, can't be the same bloke. It's two different people.
That's one of the guys who says, there's not a fog back.
Yeah.
It is. I think it's Buck who says that.
Buck.
Hey,
Buck.
There's a fog bank.
Good man's name, ain't that Buck? You got expectations with a name like Buck.
You have.
It's a cool name, is Buck.
Yeah. Hey, Buck.
I don't listen to a lot of evening radio. Do they say the name of the station every 2 seconds?
Yes.
I think commercial in America they do, I think.
Do you think so?
I think they do.
KWCL.
That could throw me. Like, every 10 seconds she'd say...
Yeah.
I love the fact that she puts a record on, right? And she will literally take a phone call from Dan and go, hurry up, Dan, you've got 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You've just started this record, right? It's jazz. It goes on for about 7 hours without stopping.
She says as well, here's 4 in a row. That'll do for the rest of the night, that will, love.
Yeah.
Go on.
That's me done. This is going home.
And I love the fact, right, that she's really groggy the next morning.
Yeah.
Well, you own the station and you've chosen to do the fucking midnight slot. Why don't you do drive time?
Yeah.
Right? Look after your son.
To do
Can't look after you today, lad. I'm doing night shift again.
So instead, when she wakes up and Andy's woken her up at Christ knows what time, like 1 p.m. and he's because he's found some wood.
Mum, I've got wood.
I thought that bit was dead good, though, when the, was it 6 to kill or something came on the wood?
Yeah.
6 must die. Yeah.
Dead good that was.
It was
leaking water.
It was
everywhere.
Ace was that part. So yeah, it starts leaking water, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then it manipulates the sound coming out of the, that amazing piece of technology that she has.
What was that?
Just
like a tape draw.
I want to know what the hell she was driving. What the hell was that? It was like a matchbox car.
I think they're amphibious, aren't they? They can go in the water. I think it looked like it, like a Bond car.
It was like, someone had taken a Jeep and gone, no.
Probably not the budget.
It was shit, whatever that car was. And she should have had a roof because her hair was a right mess.
Yeah.
It was just a write-off when she came.
especially that wind.
Even 80s hairspray.
What's the upkeep to that? Because obviously I missed all the 80s. How do you keep up with that hair? Does that hair just, that eat you wake up and go, well, the fuck it, that'll do?
Just cans and cans of Silvercrin.
Yeah.
Just, I'm
just
out.
Just a mist.
Reload.
You like to match your house because all.
Yeah. Just amazing.
Bit of backcombing.
Backcombing, hugely backcombing, yeah. So all the little jingles that she's listening to, and those stairs, man.
God, yeah.
Bloody hell.
Took forever.
She couldn't have picked a worse place to put a radio station. She just couldn't. Although she could see the sea. Very nice.
It was quite, there's some cool shots of the sea.
And that's it's a real lighthouse.
Yeah. That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's a very practical film, isn't it?
It still looks quite good as well, doesn't it? In some parts you can tell it's a little bit, but most of it, I know it's a steam machine or something, but...
A steam machine! I love the bit where Nick Castle's just climbed off of Jamie Lee. Elizabeth, as she's called. Elizabeth the Slut Solly. And so he climbs up, zips off, doesn't he?
I loved his white vest.
And there's the guy stood at the door, and you can just see his silhouette in the fog, can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that was... eerie as anything on it, and he's knocking, and you think, Jesus, if you could have zipped up your dick a little bit quicker, you'd have been dead.
Yeah.
No sweat.
Excuse me, but I zipped this up. I think those bits with the guys in the fog are brilliant.
They are.
They're quite
sinister.
Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah.
Good word.
I mean, I've not seen as much dry ice other than Cliff Richard videos.
Yeah, I'm going to say, it beats like 80s rock videos.
It's like a Whitesnake video.
It is. Coverdale could have easily done
actually,
that.
If you ever seen Cliff Richard on Top of the Pops,
there's a film for you.
It's very similar to that. To be fair, he could be Blake, just in more velour. Blake Richard.
And the saviours. Die.
Because it'd be on a assuming, he'd come up to you and go, our father, who, boom, and you're dead. You'd let him come up to you and be like, oh, you seem quite jolly. But you can tell you can look at a man and go, nah, you've never had sex, you ain't.
Yeah. There's just too much tennis to watch in the world for all those sexual shenanigans.
It does prey on the unknown as well, I think, with the fog. That's sort of what is in the fog, what could be in it. You know, if you've ever been in really thick, like, remember that time we went to Manchester?
Yes.
And we got the fog over the Pennines.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, you could not see like an inch in front of your face.
Won it.
But that's the kind of thing, it's fucking pretty eerie when you're in it.
There's always fear of the unknown, ain't there?
Yeah, there is. Like, you just can't see through it.
Yeah, but that's what fear, the best fear is the unknown. For humans, they really fear the unknown.
But it was really simple because they'd kind of lit the fog as well.
Yeah.
So like there's the scene at the start where it all kicks off at the start.
Mm.
She looks out, doesn't she, Stevie Wayne?
Yeah.
And she's on the phone to Dan and he goes, oh, it's moved, don't worry about it. It's probably missed the seagrass altogether. And she looks out and she just sees the light and then it disappears and she thinks, what the hell was that?
Yeah,
I just love, it builds so nicely. Yeah. It's even more impressive when you find out that he's completely shot more parts and just stuck them in.
I wonder if he re-edited it as well. He must have done and sort of chopped, you know, put the start bit on and then chopped and changed a few bits to give it that sort of pacing.
Must have done.
I think, I'm not 100% sure either, but I think from what I read, he kept 30% of what he originally shot.
Wow, so it's quite a big reshoot, isn't it, that?
So we shot a shitload more stuff.
More than a director's cut, isn't it? That's like a new film.
I wonder if it's worth seeing, though. It probably isn't.
No, I wonder if you'd be able to get on YouTube about original cut or something in the fog, or some of it, maybe. It would be worth watching. It's only 60 minutes.
Yeah, I might have to have a look.
The scene with the zombie in the hospital as well, where he scratches three into the floor.
You can physically keep count. When you find out that six must die when he's, obviously, the Elizabeth Dane is the ship that crashes on the rocks.
Yeah, it's the ancestors, ain't it? They've got to kill the ancestors.
Yeah, so I think they took six lives.
Yeah.
So you can physically count them. So there's three on the boat.
Yeah.
And then there's Dan.
Dan.
Who gets, I mean, God, you hear him getting chopped up, right?
I like that shot as well. It's sort of away from the door and you just see the silhouette of the door and the fog behind it and just him sort of getting ragged around a bit. You don't really see it fully.
And then she can hear it in like all pure audio quality. She's broadcasting it to loads of listeners.
Hey, listen to this. Dan's
and then poor old Mrs. Colbritz.
Oh, Colbritz.
Mrs. Colbritz!
And there's like two who... One pulls her out into the fog and then like another two jump on her.
Yeah, the proper spit roaster before. Yeah, absolutely.
Take it, Colbritz. Yeah, she gets...
Blake, is that you? She's old enough to remember the original... she was one of the conspirators. And then, so you can physically keep count. But the zombie thing, it's a bit... That's a bit out of... the realms of this thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I was very surprised to see zombies. I really didn't expect zombies.
I thought that, but I don't know if they are technically zombies.
The undead.
Just the undead, like ghouls almost. Like,
yeah. I think there's a cool part where they're in the morgue.
Yeah.
And he leaves for whatever reason. She doesn't go with him, right? And obviously there's the carcass under the table, and under the cloth. And he's talking to the guy who's giving him a full rundown, and he looks at him and goes, it just got really cold in here.
Yeah.
And he's talking to him, and you can see he's not listening. He's like, did it just get cold in here? It's like, are you listening to me at all?
God damn it.
There's a very similar scene in Salem's Lot. I don't know if you remember that, if you've ever seen that.
I've never seen Salem's Lot.
So, I mean, that is really cheesy compared. That was made for TV. It's about 3 hours long.
I've read the book. I've just never seen the film.
Oh, there you go then. It's where Danny Glick's mum gets off the table and she kind of resurrects as a vampire. And it's a very similar sequence, is that. And then obviously Jamie Lee Curtis just turns around to see him fall to the floor and he scratches three into the...
Why does he fall on the floor? Is it just
leaves him, doesn't it, I think? Yeah. Whatever it is that's using him as a puppet.
It's a puppet on a string.
It's a puppet. It's a
puppet.
It's going to baffle a load of American listeners, that little reference is there. But we don't even need to explain it. Just find it yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You'll find it.
Google, it's a puppet. You'll be surprised.
You really will.
Just don't go down the rabbit hole of 80s presenters.
Maybe best not to.
Yeah. Oh, naughty, naughty boys.
What did you say you'd score it out of 10? Do it out of 13, because that's your gimmick on your show, isn't it?
Ooh. Well, I'd give it a 7 out of 10, so probably a 9 out of 13, maybe something like that, a little bit over.
Yeah, I'd maybe jump to a 10 out of 13.
Yeah.
I love it. But, yeah. I mean, we've spoken about these kind of things in length when we do our top 20s now and again, don't we? And I think a lot of it's nostalgia. I think if you saw it for the first time...
Hmm. If you saw it now as a standalone film and you had no context, it's probably really crap.
I didn't think so.
You've just watched it, haven't you, Toffs? I mean...
It's the point of the show, Tim.
That's a good point.
What would you score it then?
Yeah, what would you score? That's a better idea.
I give it out of 13 an 8.5.
Yeah, you see, that's a good score.
It's probably about what it's kind of getting.
Yeah. Well done, John. You'll go far.
I really enjoyed it. I will watch it again. I could have done with a bit more development on some of the characters. Like Jamie Lee Curtis, after she got fucking rammed, she didn't really do a lot. She just got fucking blinded by the dick and followed him everywhere he went. And maybe he didn't even want to follow him.
Tag along.
He does say, I thought you had somewhere to go.
Yeah. God.
I thought you were going to San Diego in the morning. Can't I come and see this body? Oh, yeah, I guess.
Teach me to pick up hitchhikers.
I don't know. It worked, didn't it? He gets a drunk.
Yeah.
Gets a free painting.
Two sips of a bud.
Yeah.
And he's on it.
Yeah, I know. All it took was a sip.
Yeah, easy.
Wow.
Had to get some bud.
The new name of Bill Cosby's autobiography, that is.
oh dear Billy,
have you seen the remake?
I have once, but I don't remember it that much.
I've seen it once. I seem to remember it being like just a pound for pound recut.
Okay. It was not as good, nowhere near,
and it didn't do very well. Like everyone who's seen it said it was fucking...
Oh god, 3.6 out of 10.
Oh Jesus, right, okay.
27 Metascore.
Yeah, it's a shame when they do stuff like that. I understand why they do it, and I think somebody said when a film reaches like a 30-year mark, sometimes the rights, you've got to renew the rights, and if you're not doing anything with it, the rights can just be bought for next to nothing.
Ah, right.
So they end up rebooting. I've read that somewhere.
Yeah, a lot of films do. You sell the rights to the film, don't you? You try and keep the rights, and if you don't use the property for so many years. Like, that's why they kept fucking pumping out Spider-Man films.
Yeah, that's why they did RoboCop again when they did.
Off the top of your head, is there a horror film that you'd like to see remade?
Ooh, now that is a good one.
That's a good shout, isn't it?
It is a good shout. I don't know, really.
I'd like, me personally...
Go on.
I'd like to see some of the old horror Hammer movies.
Yeah. Well, they tried to redo the Universal monsters, didn't they?
Yeah, it's big.
Tom Cruise ruined that.
Yeah, but I think they did it the wrong way. And I kind of see what they were doing with it. They're trying to bring it. But like some of those, like Vincent Price and Christopher Lee ones, they were quite creepy. I think that they could do something with them.
Yeah.
But
I've recently discovered how good Vincent Price is.
Yeah, legend.
You see, I'm not really there, to be fair.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, the genre was just like attached to him for years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean,
Christopher Lee as Dracula. Wow.
I've not really seen that many. I know you were heavily into them, weren't you, Tim?
Yeah, I loved the Hammers when I was a kid because they always used to be on late at like on BBC One or BBC Two when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was the passion in them, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was a lot of passion in
them.
There was
a lot of like passion, little boobs, every night. So when you're growing up, it's quite nice, that. I think they were just shot really well. They're probably really cheesy. I haven't watched them in years. But
they were cheap.
Cheaply done, but they captured something like the Wolfman and stuff. And I'm not so heavy on the Mummy ones, the American ones, but the British Hammer horrors, I was quite into them. I mean, obviously Vincent Price, but they'd be quite interesting to see if they could redo. I mean, Bram Stoker's Dracula, that was good. But again, I haven't seen that since probably it came out.
I haven't seen that for years.
I don't know how well it's aged. Or
it's a difficult question. I don't know. I'm not a big one for remakes.
No.
No, I'm not. I think if there's people... There's nobody like John Carpenter.
No.
And it's the same with... I know it's a totally different genre, but like people like Spielberg and George Lucas who write these films, and they're so unique.
Mm.
And yeah, I just don't... I think when they've gone, who's coming through? And
you don't get a lot of writer-directors anymore, do you?
No, not particularly.
Nolan, isn't he? Christopher Nolan's writer-director. But there's not
a
lot.
What? I bet there is loads out there, and film aficionados will be going crazy while they're listening to this, but... I just don't know anybody off the top of my head.
Yeah.
What's his name? The one who just did Star Wars. Rian Johnson. He's one.
I suppose Edgar Wright.
Yeah, that's one, yeah.
So, no, I'm not a big one for remakes.
No.
Unless they completely turn it around.
Unless, it's like covering a song, isn't it? You have to sort of do it in a new way.
Mm.
Use the sort of...
Maybe.
But it is very hard. I think you're better just doing... It's like, I mean, you could argue... It's like Batman, Tim Burton's Batman, and then Christopher Nolan's Batman.
I won't have you say a bad word about Tim Burton's Batman. I'll fight you.
Not at all.
Nah.
Michael Keaton, fabulous.
You won't have these ones if you didn't have Tim Burton. Tim Burton totally got it right, I think.
Soundtrack. Oh, what a soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. He's speaking our language now, Toph.
Wow. I mean, Jack Nicholson in that as a Joker. Brilliant.
Yeah, fabulous.
Well, that was what I was watching when I was 3.
Yeah.
Why not?
I went to cinema to see that.
It's good at bringing it. Got it on a dirty copy from America, I did.
Yeah.
It was like contraband.
Oh, it was back then. God,
I was like the richest kid in school with that bad boy.
I've got a random horror movie related question. Coming up next week, I've watched The Exorcist.
Yes.
And that is next week's show. I want to ask you, do you think The Exorcist would be made today? And do you think it would work if it was made? Erase it from history. Keep it pretty much the same. Do you think The Exorcist could get made today?
Yeah, I think they'd make it today. I don't think it'd have the same impact.
Do you know what? I'm completely with you on that. I think, they would make it.
They would make it.
But it'd be
done by the Insidious people, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah, it wouldn't shock. It wouldn't shock because there's so much of it. I think the thing there with the Exorcist was the shock of it. What? Wow, what's she saying? What's Jesus doing? It's like...
it was
Jesus, no!
But there was that whole kind of mindfuck about Exorcist.
Yeah.
You know, the little chop little sequences in, aren't they?
Yeah.
Little flashes of images that you thought, oh, did I see that? And then they edited it and God, they had to cut it and then it was banned in certain countries. It wouldn't have that effect anymore.
No, you wouldn't get a film. I don't think a film these days would ever do that, no matter what was in it. You could have just like an hour of proper debauchery. I don't think it'd shock like that did in the day.
God, what a movie that is.
I think that's a one-off, those kind of films. I mean, I know they had certain films in the 80s, like Child's Play and stuff, which was banned.
Yeah, I mean, they've done so many supernatural, like that kind of a film since, haven't they?
Yeah.
But none to that kind of effect. It's just enormous.
Yeah,
is that
the impact.
Film.
I mean, even when it got re-released in the 90s, when we went to see it again, I don't think I went, oh, man, I don't know, I can't remember.
No, we went together, me and you.
Yeah, there were people then, reports of people being upset and coming out of the cinema upset.
Yeah.
I suppose... The Blair Witch had that kind of an impact, which we talked about not so long ago.
Yeah, it did.
It was a new format, a new way of doing stuff. And I think that if they do things like that, they sort of do things with a new twist or a new edge to something. That's where you get the shocks.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, that, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Exorcist, yeah.
What about the gold cross at the end? So he'd obviously unearthed this diary, hadn't he?
Did it blow up or did it just like burn him? Because that confused me a bit.
It just kind of lights up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then obviously Nick Castle grabs him and throws him to the floor. I think he was planning on kind of taking him with them, wasn't he, almost? And then Nick dragged him off.
Yeah.
And it all went pear-shaped, but they took the goal anyway.
Yeah, and they come back from at the end anyway, don't they?
And then they come back. Did you like the end part? Because it was almost like a song fading out and fading back in again, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought
it was dead good.
I did.
Yeah, I liked it, actually.
It was cool, and it was almost like he knew.
It was almost samurai, though, wasn't it, the way he took him down? It did feel like I don't know, I thought it was really good.
I love the fact that
they didn't get away, they actually got his full revenge.
Yeah, they all went outside, didn't they? It's finished, it's over. Saw the fog disappearing off down the driveway. And then he goes inside and you can just see he knows.
Yeah.
And then it creeps under the door and Blake's behind him. I like that.
Yeah.
Blake's behind him. And again, you don't get to see the whole headless.
Which is good, isn't it? Because it has more impact, I think.
I think it does, dramatic. Yeah. That's the end.
Yeah. Well, most films back then had that sort of theme, didn't they? That one final scare at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Loved it. Like I said, I think it is more nostalgia. But I love a good ghost story.
Did it scare you when you were kids?
I used to love staying like really. We did it a lot when we were kids. We used to stay up mega late, like after 12, 1 o'clock ish, put a film on, this creepy film, sit and watch it with, you know, some snacks. Brilliant. Love getting the chills. But these days, it's rare that a film. The only couple of films that recently I remember getting chills watching are The Conjurings.
Yeah, 100%.
I enjoyed them a lot. Which one do you prefer, one or two?
I think it might be two, you know.
I'm absolutely with you on that.
I prefer one.
Did you?
I think just two, because of the Enfield hauntings and that sort of the real sort of recordings at the end and stuff. I think that's quite creepy.
Love that story.
Yeah, the story of the Enfield hauntings is great.
But the two together are such a great set of films. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And they're supposedly doing another one, aren't they? But whether it actually happens or not, I've no idea.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're the two that have really...
In recent times, Insidious was going that way, but then they did that weird thing in the fog with the lamp. And
yeah, there's certain lost scenes in there that are great.
Yeah, I love the first hour of Insidious.
Yeah.
Everybody's marvelous
about that film.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then it just gets a bit weird.
That bit when he goes in that room is that thing in the corner, and it's just like looking at him, that weird, that's freaky.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's ace.
Some great shots in that.
There's some brilliant stuff in that film.
Yeah, but I mean, the films that I remember being terrified of were obviously A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah.
When we first watched that. Terminator was pretty creepy. I think...
The Fly was pretty good.
The Fly was great. Yeah,
We've done The Fly on this show. I fucking adored The Fly.
No, Cronenberg's fucking brilliant.
Genius. I've not watched that in years, and I need to watch that.
It's disgusting as well.
Yeah.
Fucking horrible.
You see, it's not really gore, that, is it? It's just like, it's
where he throws up on that donut. Oh, dear.
But Jeff, we were just talking about Jeff Goldblum on our podcast, how good he is in Ragnarok, but he's superb in that.
I think one of the early ones for me as well was American Werewolf in London.
Oh, my God, yeah, of course. That was, that's terrifying when you first watched that.
Yeah, there's a few scenes in that are terrifying.
The howling in that werewolf in American Werewolf in London is terrifying.
That is a game changer.
We've talked about it before, but I always remember the video cover to American Werewolf in London in the video shop, and it was on the top shelf. And it was like, holy crap, what's that? And I was like, I just never dared watch it till later on.
No.
What do you think has been the best or most iconic box cover that still stays with you?
Oh, I'm going to have to say A Nightmare on Elm Street.
What was the box cover to that? Was that Nancy with her eyes wide open?
And it's like Kruger's hand over the top, the bluey sort of yellow, orangey writing, and it's on Elm Street, and she's sort of sat with her hair all, and his hands over the top. That's quite creepy. The Miracle Elf in London, obviously, I just said.
Yeah.
That was always a creepy one. See, it's a bit of a lost art, isn't it, box covers? Because they used to sort of, in the video shops, that would draw your eye straight to it.
Absolutely. But some of them were terrible.
Some were crap.
And the film was great, but like you said, the American Werewolf was just a still.
Yeah, of his face.
Wasn't
changed
it?
The wolf.
Yeah, they'd not really made any effort with it. They'd just taken a photo.
Yeah. That's a tricky one. I'd like to look through some, actually, and just remember them, because I forget them, don't
you? Elm Street's a good shout, though, because they had some great artwork on those.
Yeah, it's quite dreamy, almost. It sort of fit with the narrative of the film.
Yeah, they used to go to town.
I'm just thinking about Robocop, but that was just him sort of smashing through a wall. Terminator was Schwarzenegger, one with the glasses on and the red sort of...
Iconic look, iconic look, though, wasn't it? Yeah, that's a good question.
I'll leave that with you.
Yeah.
I got one more question for you. It's horror-related. Yeah. I've started doing this thing now where I've started watching like really bad films.
God, don't do it.
Like bad, good... Like films that bad that they're actually really, really good.
Like Sharknado and stuff?
No, because that's intentionally bad.
Yeah, it is.
I'm talking about films that are intended to be really good films but are just garbage. Have you seen Troll 2?
No.
Oh, have a night and watch Troll 2.
Troll 2. Oh,
fuck. I've watched it three that times this week.
Do we have to see Troll first?
No, do you fuck? Do you box?
I think I've seen Troll.
Watch it, but like, be open-minded about it and don't like go, gosh, shit, and turn it off. You've got to get to the end because it's fucking genius.
Is it like the Leprechaun films? Are they along those kind of lines?
Just watch it. Just honestly, watch it.
Oh, the tagline is great. One was not enough. Troll 2.
Look at the picture. Oh, I tell you, I've just got a great, video front covers.
Fright Night.
Fright Night.
Yeah, I knew it. That's like that, innit?
That was the one. Fright Night.
Fright Night was a great.
That was the cover.
The clouds, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Fright Night.
Not seeing that one.
Oh, man. Oh,
Fright Night's a good one for you to watch.
Treat yourself. That is a film that doesn't really know what genre it's in.
Yeah. 1985-ish, was it, that Fright Night?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I think I've seen the remake. I think I've seen the one with Colin Farrell.
Yeah, you will have done that.
I need to watch the original.
It was okay, was that? But the original's great.
All right. One last thing before we do one.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've seen the trailer to The Fog.
Yeah. It's not for many years.
Got
but
that
yeah,
fucking get inside, lock your doors, close your windows, that.
Yeah.
If I give you the line, I want you to give it me in your most sinister voice.
Stay inside, close your doors, lock your windows. There's something in the fog.
That's pretty good.
I think they should re-edit the video with that.
It make your gooch twitch. Just a little bit.
Never touched before, but it had a bit of a tingle then. Lovely. Just ask the question and then we'll sign out, boys. Just ask, was it worth it?
Oh, 100%. It's worth it. Physically changed my fragile little mind when I was a child and just got me into the whole genre. Like I said, I had screwed up sister who loved to show me these films and I love her for it. If I'm being honest, I think, but like I said, The Fog is this classic ghost story and you just don't get many like that anymore. Yeah. They're all out for the scares and the gore.
Yeah.
And the scares are great, but the gore, it's just too much. And I think it was such a simple idea.
Yeah.
And like you said, it was simply shot. It didn't need a huge budget and just, marvelous film.
You see, it kind of reminds me of The Woman in Black, which we've talked about.
I didn't like that.
And that's the ghost story with Daniel Radcliffe. It's different.
Oh, it's a totally different film.
It's that sort of, were they not gone...
Simple. Really simple.
Yeah.
More about the ghostly sort of side of it rather than the gore, the terror.
Mm.
Yeah, I 100% agree. It was definitely worthy.
Definitely.
Well, two for two, boys.
Thank you ever so much.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Anytime.
Just an excuse to rewatch it was just a blast.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed watching it again.
Gives me goosebumps when it starts. Honest, it does.
Yeah.
Great film. Boys, watch Troll 2. Fucking watch Troll 2.
Too right. We'll tweet you. All right.
Okay, boys, drop your social media. Where can people find the show?
All right. Well, you can get us at Three Cuckoos on Twitter.
Mm.
You can get us at Facebook, Three Cuckoos Podcast. It's dead simple. We're on SoundCloud, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. Ask your local Alexa for the latest Three Cuckoos Podcast. And yeah, it's all on there, free to download and stream.
Hundreds of episodes.
Thousands of hours of Yorkshireness.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Bye.
Bye. Stay inside. Close your doors. Lock your windows. There's something in the fog.